Turn your tax refund into a new landscape with Menards. Make this the year you check that project off the list. Create stunning patios and build strong retaining walls with our huge in-stock selection of beautiful concrete blocks ready to take home today. Plus, easily build and design your own raised garden beds with our garden block. On sale now. Check out our weekly flyer and start saving on landscape blocks now at Menards. Save big money
at from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, two in the books, one to go. Final hour of the show. Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. It's Barry, Nick, and Joel on a Wayback Wednesday. My hour starts now. Songs from the year 2010. Always use this portion of the program to tell you if you missed any of the first 2 hours of the show. You go to ESPN975.com immediately. Click on the show tab for the Usual Suspects at the top of the page. You can catch the first 2 hours of the show right there. And then while you're on that initial front page, there are instructions on how you can download the app. Then you take us anywhere, everywhere, never miss another portion of the show. How about that?
Okay.
Simple as that.
I like it.
Do it, Nick.
Oh, bing! Yeah. I was supposed to do
there
it.
There we go.
I was supposed to say, do it.
Word.
Oh, yeah, that too. Damn Word. It.
Either one of those two, and then down. Nick hits the bell sound, and then we're ready to go.
I let you guys down.
Hey, real quick, the Blitz is going to be at tight ends in League City. So from 4 to 7, the Blitz will broadcast. If you guys want to catch the Rockets game, enjoy some booze, definitely go there. I'll be there after, up until about 8 or 9 o'clock as well, making an appearance. So go to League City, go to Tight End Sports Bar and Grill. Fred and AJ will be there as well. I'll be there. It's fun times.
There you go. AJ all day in his office in the dark. Back from an eye procedure.
Sensitive to light.
Sensitive to light. I said, So you're going to go all Stevie Wonder on us today for the show? And he's
Don't do it.
We're going to tight ends. I was like, oh boy.
It's going to be
Nick, you're going to have to get chaos. Some pictures of the sunglasses.
I'll do that. I don't know if I'll tweet it, but I'll show it to you guys.
Yeah, I mean, you can tell him, like, if he's hard up for cash on the way home, he can just get a sign, a piece of cardboard,
panhandle.
and hang out on the feeder road for a couple of minutes. Could might be able to catch some pocket change for the tolls.
Could do that.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think so.
We'll talk for food. I don't know. So there's that. At least he's back. Surgery went well, I guess, so that's good.
Right.
We'll talk to him about that. All right, so Rockets tonight, back on the court, Denver Nuggets. Everybody was saying, oh, but you know what? They'll be okay. They're minus eight. They're a minus eight tonight at home against the Nuggets. Jamal Murray's been out with a sprained ankle. But you can't say that the Nuggets are playing bad without their best player because they've won 4 of 5. So,
are they really an 8-point underdog?
Yeah.
No, they're not. They're an 8-point favorite.
Yeah, they're 8-point favorite.
Eight and
they're
a half
minus
point
eight. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So it's gone up. It's eight and a half.
It's 8.5. They have a 63% chance, according to the matchup predictor, of winning the game.
I don't know that I wouldn't take Denver in the points.
The 8.5?
Yeah.
Well, they're
because
missing.
Nick brought Bull, up a great Bull point
is out,
yesterday.
So that matters. Plumlee's out. Jamal Murray's out. Paul Millsap's out. Well, they're missing a lot.
Oh, they're missing a lot of players.
Yeah, they are. No wonder.
And guess what? Guess who's out if they lose the game? Mike D'Antoni.
Because Austin Rivers day-to-day.
As Nick pointed out yesterday, they may not have a superstar player, but they play like a team.
Boy,
there's a reason why their record is predominantly better than your Houston Rockets.
Oh, yeah. Well, three games. It's a
still,
lost column.
I mean, when you look at how jammed up the West is, those three games are important. And if you're not a top four seed in the West, good luck to you.
They are currently third.
Denver is.
Yes. Clippers, 8-2 in their last 10, 4 in a row, have leaped into the second spot.
Yeah, I mean, look. At the,
we all kind of knew that was going to be the case.
Yeah, and the thing is you know, you talk about boy, an unfortunate blow for the Mavs last night. It might be to the Rockets' advantage, but because you know, and I'm the one that's been on the Mavs train that that they're going to be better than Rockets after this at the end of this season, and it looks like maybe even before then. But one of their best players last night, Powell. I mean, no one near him, and goes to put the ball on the floor and just hits the floor, and it looks like he's torn his Achilles.
Damn,
and. Kid has been fantastic for them. The pick and roll, the efficiency of him and Luka Doncic is top in the league. That's a big loss for them. But, you know, again, those are the teams that the Rockets don't want to be chasing at the end of the season, which means they got to put a stop to this losing streak.
Well, yeah, they have to. And it's tough because the schedule over the next couple of days is difficult, and your team's not playing well. That everything looks discombobulated. At least you're at home. That's like the one saving grace is you are at home, and you're relatively healthy. Austin Rivers day to day. Otherwise, EG and all this. You at some point, man. There. Something, you know, something's going to have to break for them the right way. Yeah.
And again,
like you said, it may be that it doesn't, and that's the end for Mike D'Antoni.
I mean, you lose back-to-back games right now at home, tonight and tomorrow.
Yeah.
Dude, this team might implode.
Well, they're on a four-game free fall right now, and it's really, five of their last six? Yeah.
And as I pointed out, in every one of those games that they lost, they had a double-digit lead. So if they go up by 10 or more tonight and find a way to lose this thing, I don't know how much lower you got to go before something's got to give and some change has to be made. And again, with the contracts you're talking about and the fact that there aren't that many options on trades because you can't trade guys that might bring the most value in return, the scapegoat or the easy way out is going to be your head coach who's in the final year of his contract. And Tillman made that very clear. This was a do or die year for D'Antoni, that put up or shut up, you win, you're going to get a big contract from me or somebody else, as he said, but he's going to roll the dice, expect them to win, and if they don't and it's this bad, that's the first guy that's going to go.
Mm-hmm.
So it'll be interesting to see what happens there. That game and the Pelicans game where Zion makes his debut off the bench will both be this evening. So
who are they playing? Who are the Pelicans playing?
You had to ask me that. I knew it, and then...
And then I said, I can pull it up.
It is the Spurs.
I got you.
Spurs at New Orleans.
It is Spurs. Is he going to get 20 and 10?
I think the betting odds last night said the over-under on points is 12.5 and on rebounds is 5.5.
So he's not getting 20 and 10.
I would assume he's probably on some kind of minutes restriction. I think he's going to get the rebounds. I don't know if he'll get the points, but if I was to bet on both, I'd say take the over on the boards. Probably take the under on the points.
Okay.
Yeah.
Speaking of the Spurs, real quick, I put this story on our rundown maybe 2 days ago. But did you see Becky Hammon, the assistant coach of the Spurs?
Mm-hmm.
She was trying to encourage Greg Popovich to challenge challenge a call and do a replay, and Greg Popovich initially said no, and then she continued to try and convince him to challenge the play, and he did, and she was right.
Yep.
Nice.
It was probably the most impressive. I mean, that's got to be a good moment for aspiring coaches for women,
especially
aspiring coaches.
Especially a female coach.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, and she's very highly respected in the game, and there's no doubt about that.
Yeah.
And I think more than anything, the teams are worried about backlash. She's interviewed for head coaching jobs, but I think teams are just so worried about how they're going to be perceived from society, but from players in the NBA and such, that they've been afraid to pull the trigger and give her a head coaching gig. But she knows the game. She played the game. And that was a really cool moment because that was a close game. I believe it was against the Heat. The Spurs, were in the middle of every possession
mattered.
They're only
up five. They're only up five with like a little bit over a minute to go. And she was making the case. Look, you have no – you're not losing anything by making this challenge. And he had to like kind of be sold on it. And then when he did – they ended up getting the ball back, which was a huge possession with only a minute. Because we all know, five-point lead with a minute and 25 seconds left in the game,
that's nothing.
That doesn't mean you won the game.
Right.
Not in the NBA. So it was a cool moment. I just thought that was a cool moment for her because people were questioning her about her being a coach and how she would relate to the other NBA players. Not the fact that she's a woman, but the fact that they're millionaires and how she would manage them or try to coach them. And clearly, Greg Popovich has some trust in her. If he was going to be convinced by her to make a decision he initially was not going to make.
You know, when we're there as a society and when we're there as a league, when that's not a story.
When she's just a coach.
Yep.
Who do you think is the first franchise to give her the opportunity?
Well, I don't know. She interviewed in Milwaukee last year. She interviewed with a couple of different teams. But like I said, it's one thing to say, to try and look for kudos because you interviewed her, but have the guts to give her the job. Because
so who do you think it would be? If you had to pick one franchise.
I don't know. It's got to be a franchise that's fired a coach. They have to have an opening.
Okay. Who do you think that would be?
I don't know. I mean, look, I'll tell you this.
Just take a guess.
Here's what I would say. I would say a franchise that I think would be right in doing it is, if there's so much turmoil with John Beilein in Cleveland and they have a young team and Becky Hammon has taken the Spurs summer league team and won the Vegas title with them, I would think that you could do worse than having Becky Hammon coach a young team in Cleveland.
How long has she been a coach?
Oh, for
at least two, three years at the NBA level, right?
5 years?
I think at least five.
But I will say this, and I don't think it's going to happen. But when you consider what happened in L.A. with the Don Sterling situation, you know, maybe Steve Ballmer, I believe his name is the owner of the Clippers, might look at that situation. If that team, for whatever reason, you know, started becoming a really bad team, you know, that could be something. You're like, look, we you know, we don't discriminate against any whether it's the color of your skin or if you're a male or you're a female. We might look into that because Steve Ballmer obviously is the owner following what is viewed
Donald
to be
Sterling, yeah.
a kind of, you know, a racist owner. Let's be honest.
Yeah.
But I don't think that would happen because they're just
Well, you got
not,
Doc Rivers. He ain't going anywhere.
Exactly. You have Doc Rivers and they're doing good right now. So I don't think that happens.
Yeah, I just said realistically, based on kind of like the team situation, I could see her going to Cleveland.
I think what I could see happening. So she's been with the Spurs organization for 6 years now. She started in 2014. So this will be her, I guess, her sixth year coaching. And I don't know how long Pop is going to coach. Mm-hmm. But what I think I could see the natural progression being, the Spurs were the first team to give a female the opportunity to coach, unless there's been another one that I don't know about. I could see the Spurs being the first team to say, all right, you know what? You're the heir apparent to Pop. You can go interview for all these jobs all you want, but if he retires, you're our coach. And I could totally see that happening.
I could see that.
Because she's already on the team. She's already with the players. They've already accepted it because Pop is there.
Exactly.
And you've already, she's part of the organization.
Absolutely. Yep.
So it's not a culture shock.
Because there's she's endorsed by the Greg Popovich.
Yep. Correct. And it's not, and again, it's not a culture shock.
And
she's been in the practices. She's worked with the players. They see if she's getting results on the court based on how she coaches them. They're seeing it as opposed to, you're going to have to prove it. She already has proven it.
Yeah, and then as these new players come onto the roster, they're going to be like, look.
They're buying that.
That's
what we do.
Like, I was already here, player. Like they, you
well,
know,
and the other thing is it's
I
the Popovich coaching. Tree, unlike yeah. some of these other coaching trees you talk about. James Borrego is coaching the Hornets. You talk about Brent Brown with Philadelphia. Look, if you've been under the Popovich coaching tree and learned and tutored under him, chances are teams are going to respect you. So the fact, you're right, but it's a good point. If she's going to go anywhere, if the Spurs want to really continue with their forward thinking, just keep her and wait. Because most of the guys that I just named off were supposed to be the heir apparent mm-hmm. to Greg Popovich mm-hmm. until an opportunity came up sooner.
And I feel like Pop is the kind of guy that would sit down with that organization and sit down with her separately and orchestrate that.
I could see
because he's a very progressive guy. He wants, you know, I feel like Pop would champion the fact that he wants to see a female succeed in the coaching ranks in the NBA. And if he could orchestrate it, he would absolutely do that. Because for as big of a jerk as he is in the media, from everything I've heard, as far as like being a compassionate person and stuff like that, he has a big heart.
He's down with his team. He's way nicer within that.
So I could see
realm.
Where he would be like, hey, you know what? Telling the Spurs, look, I got 3 years left, 4 years left. I'm going to, and then she should be the coach. And I could see him going to her and say, listen, I know you're going to go interview. And if you can get another opportunity, take it. But if not, stay the course with me. I'm retiring or probably, you know, in this many years, especially since they're out of superstars and the Spurs are, you know, they don't have the, it's not the Spurs anymore. It's kind of like the Warriors once all those guys go away.
Mm-hmm.
Steve Kerr is going to have to evaluate. Is he going to start over? You know, I can see Pop being like, okay, it's a good run, and I'm done.
It's
her team now.
It would take more coaches and owners with that type of aura and personality
sure. yeah.
to do. Like it would take people like Greg Popovich. I think it would take people, an owner like Mark Cuban.
Yeah.
You know what? Even like a Jeff Van Gundy, although you make a good point. I don't think he should go back to coaching, but if he was a coach, he would be someone I feel like would endorse someone like
totally
a Becky Hammon if he
that.
Really believed that she was, you know, worth, like she knew basketball.
Yep. Great.
So it would take those type of personalities and respected people, in my opinion, to see more female.
Would coaches. You guys be good if Mike D'Antoni got fired and Becky Hammon was the new coach of the Houston Rockets?
They could do worse.
I would agree with that, too.
We'll see. And on a somber note, Chandler Parsons.
Oh, man.
It's just bad
story.
News. He was in a car wreck about a week or so ago, and initially the Hawks said, look, he's suffering from concussion-like symptoms. They was going to get checked out. He was in concussion protocol. The news is now much worse. He potentially has brain damage. Mm. He was hit by a drunk driver. There's probably going to be a lawsuit, but they don't know if he's ever going to get back to where he was.
You can say whatever you want. And I know Chandler personally, he is a good dude. And our thoughts and prayers, my thoughts and prayers are out to Chandler Parsons, because you never want to wish that upon anybody.
Nope.
And he was minding his business, and now he's dealing with a whole lot more.
That sucks.
There you got that as well. We got plenty more to get to in the final hour of the show. If you want to join us, please do 713-780-3776. That's our HRNP listener line. Or hit us on Twitter. We're the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, rolling through the final hour of the show. It is The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. We were talking NBA... former WNBA player, being a head coach in the NBA at some point, Becky Hammond. Now this, Kobe Bryant out there doing an interview saying that Diana Taurasi, Elena Deladon, or Maya Moore could play in the NBA right now. Your thoughts, Barry?
Oh, boy. Could they play? Sure.
That's the question.
I guess they could. Would they be any good? That's a whole different discussion.
Nick? I mean,
I don't think so.
I just think, here's the thing. I hate that he's out there saying these kind of things. And again, not that I'm trying to poo-poo it in terms of society and the media and the public, whatever the reasons were and the quote itself. But I think that you're talking about two totally different sets of circumstances. The makeup of a woman versus the makeup of a man. The makeup of the NBA versus the WNBA. I just think... You know, they're two separate sports for a reason, and I think they're separated for a reason. It's not like the days of Annika Stormstam trying to play on the PGA Tour, but there are going to be guys in the NBA that, again, aren't as forward-thinking as we were just talking about, even from a coaching perspective, that are going to go out there and try to be overly physical. They're going to try to send a message and teach a lesson, and then there's other guys that are going to be like, hey, that's a woman. I don't want to go, like, press and you know, get physical. So it's just a can of worms that's not worth opening. I always said back in the day that the player that I thought had the skills to could cross over in terms of just the overall ability was Cynthia Cooper, and that was at a point when she was already past her prime.
I thought you were going to say Cheryl Swoops.
No, Cynthia Cooper in my mind was better than Cheryl Swoops.
Okay.
And Cynthia Cooper was gifted, and that was at a time when she was in her 30s already. When she was in her prime, in her younger years, there's no doubt to me in terms of just skill, but there's so much more to the NBA than just skill. And we just got done talking about Zion Williamson at 290 pounds or 280 pounds. I mean, that's a whole lot of human being coming at you. And it's a different game than the WNBA. So I don't like the fact that he went out there and made that statement. But I get what he's doing. He's pumping up women and the women's game and the ability of the women's game. And that's all fine.
Diana Taurasi is 6 foot.
She is one hell of a shooter.
Yeah.
I know. For
I don't
a fact
know what she weighs, but she's a 6 footer.
She's known to have beaten Michael Jordan in shooting contests at Jordan's camp in the past.
Yeah. You brought it up, so I'm going to mention it. Boy, I absolutely hated playing pickup ball, and then a chick would roll up, and then you'd be like, damn, I don't want to guard her. Because whenever, like, especially at the courts we played at, the chicks that would show up and play could usually play pretty well.
Yeah.
And so now you'd be like, you didn't want to be the dude that had to guard the chick because it was a no-win proposition for
absolutely
you.
Absolutely right.
If you were too physical, they're like, bro, why are you being so physical with that lady, man? Don't be a dick about it. But if you're not, if she's scoring on you, then everybody's like, ah, yeah, she took you to the rack. It's like, well, what am I supposed to do? I hate it. I'm like, I'm not guarding her. Not guarding her. No. I'll guard this big fat dude. I don't care. I'm not guarding her. Somebody else guard her. You are not winning that.
I mean, for me, I think there's a big discrepancy
I feel like there's only a few women that might have the physical build to compete. Just strictly from not a skill set point, just from a physical standpoint. And then there's a big drop off, you know? And I think if you look at it overall, I really believe that there's probably a female out there that's probably 6'2", 6'3", 6'4", and she's better than another adult man that's probably the same height. Like, she's genuinely a better basketball player. But I don't think there's enough. I don't think there's a big discrepancy, and there's a lot of smaller girls that are playing, and they just would not handle the NBA from a physical standpoint. They just wouldn't.
And I'm not saying, like, if a woman wants to try out for an NBA team, they shouldn't. I'm not trying to put them down that like that. If they want to try that and that's something that the leagues are okay with, then go right ahead. I'm just saying, because, look, your point is valid, Barry, in the fact I had it happen Saturday. Saturday we had
you got taken to the rack.
Not me personally. I'm not going to give you that much enjoyment. But we had a woman that played at TCU.
She took you to the rack.
She played at TCU and she came out and wanted to play in our pickup game. And we said sure. But it's a damned if you do, damned if you don't situation. We had a buddy of mine who's about 6'3", right? But there was a ball that was kind of loose on the floor, and she came in with a full high forearm, caught him in the chin and the neck, and he went straight down.
Yeah.
And he was like, dang, that hurt. And he's like, you know, I can't, I mean,
you
mean
swing
I
in
see
and,
her coming yeah. at me. Normally, if it was one of you guys, I'd just lower my shoulder and try to, like, boom, soften the blow. He's like, I couldn't do anything.
Only good thing about it is if they post you up, then you just, you know, don't use your hands on defense.
See what you're saying. The other thing, the one that we used joke. To be like the Van Chancellor.
All pelvis when they post you up. Don't do that. That's creepy, guys.
Follow Barry at Barry is Pervy.
Don't do that. That's creepy.
Tim Frank, now head of all PR for the NBA. Used to be our PR guy for the Rockets. And every now and then, Van wanted to like get a really spirited game going with the Comets and challenge them. So he would have five of us go down there and play against them. And we kind of chuckled because Tim Frank had to guard Tina Thompson.
Oof.
Tina Thompson was one strong, strong player.
Mm-hmm.
And we knew in the first 5 minutes, Tina wasn't afraid to send a message. Tina hit Tim in the chin with one of the greatest spinning, moving elbows I've ever seen and rattled Tim's cage. And we will never let him forget it because it sent him to the floor.
That's
and we
a
were
no-win
like,
situation
exactly.
for that dude.
You're right. All right.
By the way, I just real quick before we go to break. Mark Schell, I saw your text. Come on, bro. Stay in your lane.
Do better. Listen to the show yesterday. You know what we're talking about.
Let it go.
All right. Final half hour of the show comes up next. Don't go anywhere. And don't forget Nick and the Blitz from Tight Ends coming up after the show. 4 to 7. If you can make it, go in, go by, stop high, stay high. Stay high and say hi.
What?
Stay. There you go.
What was
we're
that?
We're not getting high in
stay
late
high?
Today. You and Fred might.
Joel, there's kids listening. Say no to drugs, kids.
Say yes to the suspects. Back with the final half hour, ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Final half hour of the show, Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Going back to a story we mentioned yesterday, I don't know if you guys saw this or not, but there was discrepancy on like the videos and everything that happened with Delonte West yesterday, and the officer who shot that video has been suspended by the police department in Maryland.
Shot the video
of Delonte West sitting curbside with his handcuffs and getting all that audio, and then I would assume that he's the guy that actually released it so that people could publish it. So evidently the police department didn't like that, and he's now been suspended.
Did you see the actual video of Delonte West getting beat up?
I did not see that.
Oof. It was brutal.
I don't know why I initially thought. That's why I said don't hold me to it yesterday. I don't know why I thought it was an officer. It was not an
officer. It was brutal.
He was punching him, kicking
him. Stomping his head.
Yep.
Like, I'm not just talking about like literally raising his foot up as high as he could and stomping the dude's head. It was, I don't know what happened. Somebody was like, oh, Delonte West made this guy mad. I don't know what you could do, but there's a certain point when somebody's in the fetal position.
Yeah, you got to stop.
Just stop.
I don't know if it's doing this show as long as we have now or something, but everybody said that you couldn't make out what he was saying, and I understood a lot of it.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So I might be just working with you enough that I finally can decipher it. But I think he basically said, like, Donald Trump is not the president. I'm the president. At one
really?
Point, yeah, he had, but
there was an article that I didn't read at all, but it basically said that so many people have tried to get help for Delonte West and that they've set it up for him and then he would just not show up and not go get the help. And so they're like, you're not going to get help until you want to get help. It's like anything. It's like when you deal, and I don't know why or what specifically is going on, but I can tell you that just from experience, when you're dealing with like alcoholics and drug addicts, they have to hit rock bottom.
No doubt.
You can't make them get
sober.
They
have to want the help.
You can't make them get help. And I know you can watch intervention and all that, but until they're ready, it's just not going to happen.
Here's the other tricky situation with all that, right? Is the fact that because as a society of sports fans that see this, their initial reaction is Jameer Nelson and Phil Martelli should be helping him.
Who?
His coach in college at St. Joe's and his backcourt mate who made a lot of money in the NBA, Jameer Nelson. You know what? Those closest to him should be trying to help him first and foremost. Family, friends, the people that know the situation. It's a tough deal because you can kind of see Jameer Nelson tiptoeing, realizing his former college teammate needs help. And, you know, he's committed to try and see if he could find somebody to get that help. But if he isn't there, and he doesn't know the situation. And like you said, he may not. He doesn't know if people have tried to get him help in the past and he just didn't show. He doesn't know all the details.
Right.
But all of a sudden, everybody on Twitter is saying, Jameer, you need to help him. Well, he and Martelli have been trying to say they're trying to do whatever they can. Mm-hmm. And they're asking for people with experience with these kind of situations to also make themselves available so he can get the help he needs. But that's a tough situation sometimes, too, because sometimes too much added pressure is put on the guys just because they played with him and coached him in
right.
college.
It's like, I'm not his babysitter. I'm not his, like, even if we're best friends, it's like I just said, you can try or you can have the best intentions, but until that person wants the help,
right,
it's not going to matter. You can't, and you can't make somebody else responsible for his downward spiral. That is not fair to the other people. Period.
Absolutely.
He's an adult. He makes his own choices.
Yeah. So that's a tough situation. Hopefully he does get help and someone can kind of get through to him so that he can get better. But that was just, in so many ways, a very, very, very ugly situation. NFL news, the Jacksonville Jags look to be hiring Jay Gruden, the Redskins coach that was fired during the season this last year as their new offensive coordinator.
Yep.
So Jay Gruden will join the staff and run the offense for the Jags, and I would assume that he will have Keenan McCardell once again as his wide receivers coach.
We'll hope so.
So there's that. And then if you laughed, scoffed, or thought about when the odds for 2020 came out in Vegas of when or if Antonio Brown would get arrested, if you took the fact that there was a chance that he would get arrested, you may be a winner.
What?
Story now breaking that him and his trainer allegedly battered a driver that was making a delivery to his house or helping him move his belongings in his Hollywood, Florida home. Maybe this is why also with the police knew that something was up when they said, we're giving back your money that you donated for the police leagues and the way you talk to us is one thing, but also we're going to have to come out and make, because the police actually were the one that came out and made the statement and said his trainer's already been charged with one count of felony burglary and battery.
Oof.
And booked into jail. And they're looking at if Antonio Brown is a suspect or not as well.
I hope he listens.
Talk about a guy that needs to get some help.
Suspect.
Yeah.
Yeah, he does. His girlfriend or ex-girlfriend, or I don't know what she was, but I saw something that briefly said that somebody, a female that's been associated with him in the past, came out and said that he has mental issues and then he needs to seek help.
Look,
mentally.
Drew Rosenhaus, as an agent, has never shied away from staying with a guy that's controversial, i.e. Terrell Owens, because he knows some way, somehow, he's still going to make money. The fact that he decided, I am no longer going to represent Antonio Brown until he seeks help, tells you something in itself, that he's been around this guy and he knows this situation isn't great. But Antonio Brown's got to get some help.
He really does. He's another one. Speaking of that, you said Terrell Owens. I think McNabb came out and blamed him for breaking up the Eagles Super Bowl team.
I saw that as well, that he basically said, look, he tried to move on from all of Terrell Owens' comments and all the shots he took at him, but it splintered their relationship. It's still splintered to this day. And that, you know, he's tried to move on, but, you know, as part of the situation, yeah, that, you know, he could have pointed fingers too. Mm-hmm. But again, we talk about that unwritten rule in the locker room and, mm-hmm. and what goes in the locker room stays in the locker room. Same thing goes on to the field and the huddle and everything like that. T.O. didn't value any of that.
Nope.
So, yeah, that was out there yesterday and today as well. So, some interesting stuff. Unfortunately, not everything is involving stuff on the field because we got all these different stories. By the way, it's Pro Bowl week.
Oh, boy. I cannot wait to skip it.
To see him play dodgeball?
Are you watching this? I mean, the dodgeball stuff I would watch. The football game?
No.
I'm much more interested in the drone drop where they take the football and they take it up, you know, mm-hmm. I don't know how high they go, 1,000 feet. I don't know what it is. And then they drop the football and they got to catch it. Or the dodgeball was fun last year until somebody's going to, you know, sprain an ACL and then it's not going to be fun anymore.
Right.
But I'm just not watching the football
game.
Just
like when they did one year, they did flag football on the beach and then someone tore an Achilles or a knee or something like that.
I don't care about this week in football.
Stop. And it's all so screwed up. At least from a player's perspective, when it was in Hawaii, most guys would take the selection and go because they could take their family on a free vacation. Then they moved it to Orlando, and it's rained the last couple of years. And it looks like it's going to be cold and rainy again. And on top of that, now they're trying to figure out, well, how do you make the game competitive? Well, you can't because the guys that are playing it know their season's over. There's nothing on the line, no matter if you put money on it or not. So you see a lot of the big-time players that were the best in the league this year passing on the opportunity to go play. So now they get called out for the other thing they're doing wrong. Xavier Rhodes made it, the defensive back of the Vikings, who was one of the 6 worst corners in football this last year, though he's been good in the past. And everybody's going, well, what the hell is going on? Even having the game.
Yeah. Here's what I think they should do. I don't mind the skills challenges, but how about this? At this point, you've got all of these players that don't want to risk their body in another game. Even a more meaningless game than a preseason game. Because at least a preseason game, you got guys fighting for roster spots, right? Mm-hmm. How about it's an all Madden game. Instead of actually playing football, you get to the Pro Bowl, you got to play either as yourself or as your opponent, right? And then you play other people, and it's a round-robin Madden tournament, and then you do something like that. Play digitally. Don't play on the field, because I promise you, 0 people care about the Pro Bowl. No one cares that J.J. Watt got elected or didn't get elected, that Deshaun Watson is a Pro Bowl player. It matters to agents and players from a check standpoint, and it matters to the league because they can charge people an admittance fee and get TV revenue off of a game that 0 fans care about.
Mm-hmm. I wouldn't even watch
I would much rather watch J.J. Watt play as his brother T.J. Watt and T.J. Watt play as his brother J.J. Watt and play each other in Madden. I would much rather watch that than them actually be on the field and not hit each other because they're scared of hurting their fellow players. That does nothing for me.
No. And just because I guess I want to make sure we address this correctly, when we're talking about Delonte West, we've been talking about the fact that the issues that he's been dealing with have been mental disorders and issues with, you know, just depression and other things.
Mm-hmm.
Someone tweeted and said he was diagnosed with bipolar disorder, nothing to do with being a drug addict or alcoholic. I don't believe we said he was a drug addict or an alcoholic. We just knew that he needed some help.
Listen, you guys got to listen better. What I was saying was that people that need help, whether it be, I said in my personal experience of dealing with alcoholics and drug addicts, that they have to want the help. I also said that people that are close to him came out and said they tried to get them help, but he chose not to go get it. I didn't say it was for drugs.
Right.
I just said that the people that in the article I read said they tried to get him help and he didn't want it. Please try to listen a little better.
There you have it. Final segment of the show comes up next. We'll put a bow on it, turn it over to the Blitz. It's the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com. powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Final segment of the show, it's the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. It's Barry, Nick, and Joel in the studio. Fred, AJ, Aaron, and of course, Nick Sciarra going to be making a guest appearance with the Blitz, doing a show from Tight Ends after this. If you are in and around the area around Tight Ends, Nicholas, tell them to come out and see you.
Yeah, last time I had the wings. This time I'm going to try something different. You should do the same.
Breast. Bar. Can you get the breast?
There's chicken. Plenty of breasts, yep.
Okay.
That you can
eat. Put your mouth on.
Mm-hmm.
And give us the location.
Savor.
2502 Gulf Freeway in League City, right there by the Best Buy.
Nice.
There you have it.
I hear it's a fantastic place.
It is a great place.
I have not had the opportunity to go there yet.
Disrespectful?
Well, what do you want me to drive from the Spring Woodlands area to League City?
Yeah, you make a drive anyway.
For what?
You bought your own helicopter.
For the scenery.
For
the scenery.
Okay, I don't own a helicopter.
I mean, you have the helipad out back on the Laminack estate. Why don't you just take the damn thing out of the garage?
I hate you so much.
Land it on the roof.
This is why I have dumbasses stalking me on Twitter posting the value of my house, because of you and that joke. That's why I got
such a
weird
one joke.
Just
don't sell me short.
That's why I have creepers out there stalking me like that.
I mean, look, I think just from a collector's item standpoint, the fact that you knew that Kobe was going to sell it, you thought a collector's item as well as something you could use with your comedy shows, and you got your own helicopter. I think it's a very baller move.
So much. The talent, top notch.
Absolutely. You should definitely go there. Tonight is the only day they serve chicken Alfredo, but in terms of talent, like you mentioned, Barry.
Big fan.
Friday. Lingerie Friday, each and every Friday. Ooh. with a live DJ as well. So
nice. That's a big plus.
Yes, sir.
That's a big reason to go.
Okay.
By the way, I'm just going to put this out there. Got a few people texting about yesterday's segment that we had fun with. Can I just point out that you guys
they can't drop things sometimes.
No. People are trying to make jokes about my mom and you, and it's like, you know, you and I and Joel have the right to do that. I just want to point out, guys, don't take things too far. And sometimes it's okay to just move on. Like, we had fun. We had this segment. We'll all just move on and everything's cool. But you always got to take it too far and do too much. Just chill with it, okay? Let's be cool.
Yeah.
Don't be dicks.
For sure.
Okay. I said it. I'm not bringing it up again. If you guys continue to make mom jokes, your text won't get read, and I'll just ignore you.
Here's one that I saw, and I know it's my team, but I do have to bring it up to you guys because I think it's kind of a story, and I was interested to get your opinion on this. But Matt LaFleur, the coach of the Packers, was asked earlier in the week if defensive coordinator Mike Pettine would be back, and he goes, "We're still evaluating everything." And I'm like, time out. I understand you went out in free agency and added the Smith brothers, but that defense did a 180, and that defense was really good compared to where it was. And it turns out that he's particularly annoyed with the defensive players' lack of fire in the way that they approach the Niners. Well, I'll tell you this. You can have all the fire in the world, but if your defensive line is getting the ball jammed down your throat so much so that the quarterback only has to throw it 8 times, you have bigger issues than thinking that's on your defensive coordinator, Mr. LeFleur.
Yeah, it's not like you choked away a 24-point lead or anything.
Yeah.
Listen, you're making me rethink narrowing it down to the Chiefs and Packers with news like that. I don't need turmoil in the team I'm jumping ship to.
I'm not going to beg your ass. If you want to be a bandwagon jumper, go ahead.
I'm not jumping ship to a team that's got internal strife and turmoil on the coaching staff. I already have that. It's the Texans, and they're a dumpster fire, and it's all garbage over there right now. You think I want to go to a team where the coach isn't even endorsing his DC?
So after the meeting, ESPN is now reporting that the two of them met in LaFleur's office. They have mutually agreed to move forward. Pettine will again return as the defensive coordinator under LaFleur. So they worked it out.
That's going to be awkward, though, right? You think that it's
I mean, at some point, I think when you let it cool down a little bit in the off season, you probably have another discussion and go, look, man, first of all, if you got issues with the way that you think the defense played and you're putting that on me, I wouldn't do that at a press conference at the end of the year to air it out, to make, you know, to create controversy and attention that doesn't need to be there. I think you walk down the hallway on a Friday afternoon or whatever after the season's over and you say, hey, man, can we talk a little bit? Because what can we do to make sure that these guys got a fire under their ass? It was the biggest game of the year. I didn't feel like they had it. And Pettine could say, look, we did this, this, and this. He could say, you know, we maybe you're right. You got a point. But you don't put that out there in the first kind of inkling of it getting out. Is it a press conference?
I would agree with that. I would totally agree with that. And I was looking, points per game.
Oh, they did really well.
Packers are like, what, 9-10?
Yeah.
In the league, giving up 19.6 a game, mm-hmm. nestled in between 19.8 and 19.4.
Yep.
Like, that's a really good defense. If you're giving up less than 20 a game, there's only a few teams that can say they did that.
They couldn't have stopped water from flowing last year.
Yeah.
This year was night and day, a 180. Yes, the two guys on the outside helped. Yes, their draft picks started to step up. But overall, I give Pettine a whole lot of credit for what he's been able to achieve with that defense.
And guess what? You ran into a really good team. You ran into the second highest scoring team and a buzzsaw. I mean, that team is hot right now.
Yep. No, and I said it on Twitter. I said it to you guys. I said it on the air. Look, the bottom line is the better team won. They dominated mm-hmm. from start to finish. It was so much easier to swallow as a Packer fan than it would have been if it was, you know, the final plays of a final drive in the last 2 minutes of a tight game. You can accept the fact that you got beat by a better team.
Yeah, I would agree.
So, as you would say, just be better next year. Just so
be better next
you got cap space and you got the ability to do so. Just do so.
Just don't.
And I don't think a step in the right direction is getting rid of your DC, which by all accounts with the players,
a top 10
they love. And they love him.
Yeah.
So why would you screw with that?
Why would you come out and say it publicly is a big thing too. Like you said, better to be handled behind closed doors for sure.
And on the Houston Sports Awards front, I don't want it to slip away without another opportunity to say, look, Rudy Tomjanovich not only deserved that award. It was, you know, that was an easier one to say there was going to be a time when he belongs. But now get it straight, Basketball Hall of Fame, and put Rudy where he belongs in the bigger award for a bigger Hall of Fame, because you've got people all across the league. You got Jeff Van Gundy. You've got all of his ex-players. You've got so many people that are sitting out there on a daily basis stating Rudy Tomjanovich. Greg Popovich is another one that we came up earlier in the show. Pop is another big guy, big supporter that says Rudy T needs to be in the Hall of Fame. And he's almost gone so far as to say is if it comes down to me getting in or Rudy gets in, until Rudy gets in, he doesn't want to go in.
Wow. Pop said that?
Yeah.
Good for Pop.
Pop has been huge on the Rudy T train. But I really sincerely hope this is the final cog that says, everybody take notice. Rudy finally needs to just be
put in. I just don't understand it. There's a lot of people that go in the Basketball Hall of Fame that probably shouldn't be in there. And, you know, I mean, there was the big fight about getting Guy Lewis.
Guy V, yep.
Yeah, and that was ridiculous.
And don't wait so long as the person that's going in can't appreciate it or post more. Do it now.
Do it now while he has the opportunity to stand in front of his peers and thank them. And they have the fans and the public have the opportunity to show him the respect and that he deserves for what he's done and his contributions to the game. Because there's a lot of guys that go in for, you know, having great careers, but their contribution to the game. Rudy revolutionized the game in many ways.
He created the inside out philosophy of the big man kicking it out with Akeem to shooters on the perimeter, well before it was a thing like it is today.
Yeah.
You're right. He was innovative. He won a gold medal coaching a team and won several awards representing the United States. One year when there was a lockout and he couldn't take NBA players, and Brad Miller was his starting center, and yet he won.
Yeah,
you know, and as a player, he was an All-American at Michigan. He was an NBA All-Star. He didn't ask to be punched in the face and have his entire head rearranged. And so we don't even know how far he would have gone just as a player to even up his standing for deserving to be in the Hall of Fame. But just what he's done as a coach, a contributor, a basketball player, Rudy T belongs in the Hall of Fame, and I'm done.
Hear, hear. Agree 1,000%. You know what I think? You'll agree on 1,000%.
Please tell me.
That if you want to bet on the Super Bowl, there's no better place to do it than MyBookie. It's just around the corner. Guys, go to MyBookie.ag right now. Get your action on the games. It is one of the most trusted sites in the industry when it comes to getting action on games. And it's so much more than just the Super Bowl and just football. MyBookie has opportunities to bet on the NBA. You can bet on Premier League. You can bet on college hoops. You can bet on the UFC. They've got it all. There's no one better in this business. And you've even got in-game live betting. And I promise you, there's no more fun time to do that than Super Bowl. You can get all the prop bets and the parlays and teasers. But you can get that in-game live betting at halftime and make the game more interesting while you're sitting there watching it on the couch or with your buddies. They have, like I said, they have more lines and better odds for the players than any other sports book out there. So it really is a no-brainer. But you couple that with their great promotions, the 24/7 customer service, and it all goes down at mybookie.ag. Go join right now. MyBookie, they will match your first deposit halfway all the way up to $1,000. That means if you deposit $2,000, they're going to give you an extra $1,000 in free money to play with. All you have to do to take advantage of that is use promo code radio when you sign up to activate that offer. That's promo code radio. You get that extra cash from mybookie.ag. Guys, it's a no-brainer. Go sign up right now. Mybookie.ag, promo code radio. You play, you win, you get paid at MyBookie.
Hi there, we are James and Dan Twofort of the hit UK podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Each week we get around the microphones with our four favorite facts that we've learned over the last 7 days and sit down to blow each other's mind.
Yeah, here's a fact for you, Dan.
Yep.
In knot theory, a circle of rope without a knot is technically a knot, but it's called a knot.
Very good. I go on here as well. In 2019, a marathon runner with the words Jesus saves written on his bib had a heart attack, but was revived by a man called Jesus.
That is amazing. If you want to hear more facts like that, search for No Such Thing as a Fish wherever you get your podcasts.